The cold world of sports with Teddy Tucson and Alex Mandelberg.
Oh, snap. Welcome back, Riffopolis, ladies and gentlemen, to the cold world of sports. I am Teddy Tucson, joined as always by my cohort in coldness, my colleague in this frosted tundra we call life, Alex Mandelberg. How you doing today?
I'm feeling frosty cold. I'm feeling icy chilled. I just watched the ice cold veins of Steph Curry as he's like, I know I'm coming off the bench as the MVP for the first time ever in the history of the NBA in the playoffs, but maybe I should try and break the record for most points scored by a dude in the overtime.
Kobe.
I mean, stupid basketball that we just watched. And Damian Lillard, too. Damian Lillard deserves bonus buku credit for just shooting the lights out. But like I said to you when you asked me halfway through the game, when you're like, what would it take for Steph not to be the best player on the court? And I said he'd have to break three legs.
Yeah. I want y'all to take it in. That's what the thorough-ass pre-production was about. We were watching the game. This man said Steph Curry would not only need to break both of his existing legs, he would also need to grow another leg that was somehow offset his entire balance, causing all three to break. We do not know where this third leg came from, but it just would grow sometime between being upgraded to probable and a freak injury occurring, the likes of which professional sports have never seen in any continent, any hemisphere.
And Damian Lillard is awesome, but that's still what it would take for him to be better than Steph.
Damian Lillard could have 50 points that game. Every headline would be like, mysterious third leg appears on MVP.
And then breaks.
Gentleman from Rip City puts up a half century mark. Oh. Only has two legs, though. We have got a lot to cover on this edition of the cold world of sports.
You wanted to start out in Antarctica.
Well,
we are starting in literally the coldest of cold places.
Yep, it's we will get on to I don't want to say, I mean, it's not happy, but it's certainly not as depressing. Maybe that it's a pyramid, you know what I mean?
It's like, a pyramid going the like. Okay, spoiler alert. We're closing on Leicester City.
Yeah.
But like, here's the thing: for the people of Man United and Man City and Chelsea and Liverpool, that's a cold fucking world.
So really,
that's the coldest of cold worlds.
Less of a pyramid and more of a Death Valley with no heat and all the cold. Death Valley at night, basically. Death Valley at night. No blankets. No tents. We begin, though, by turning our attention to Happy Valley and the Penn State football program and university. Before we digress.
In case you've been under a rock the last 2 years. So
2 years.
I guess it would be, about five
years. It's been a little bit longer than that, even, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe five, 6 years. But, you've got the Jerry Sandusky sexually assaulting children.
Joe Paterno covered it up, and now we're finding out even more that there was evidence going back to the mid-70s.
1971, the early 70s.
Early 70s.
Early 70s.
Upwards of six coaches.
As many as six coaches, Penn State coaches, witnessed Jerry Sandusky molesting children. And, damn it, Wrigley, what are you doing?
But here's the thing. They're all do you give no credit to the fact that they're – you were saying in our thorough-ass pre-production, take away the school's credit –
Accreditation. I stand by that.
They're all gone. And they're all gone. Every one of them is fucking gone.
I don't believe that everybody. I mean, here's you've got you still don't think there are people employed at the university
the president stepped down. The head of the the sports, I forget what the title is that I'm looking for.
Oh, athletic director.
The athletic director stepped. Everybody stepped down. They're all gone. Every the
only
one
reason,
of them.
The only reason we know about this is because Penn State had a lawsuit against its insurer, and it was revealed over the course of testimony that Joe Paterno knew, or it was alleged that Joe Paterno knew of Jerry Sandusky and his activities as early as 1976. Excuse me, I'm sorry. You were right, the mid-70s, the early 70s.
You were angry at me when I said this earlier, but I'm glad Joe Paterno's not around. I'm so glad that he just decided to knock off the week after this shit happened. He's just like, you know what? I'm out.
You don't wish he was alive to somewhat have to account for his behavior?
I think he did terrible things, and he knew he did terrible things, and I think he gave himself a death sentence in his own brain.
30 years.
That dude decided his heart was going to stop because he was like, you know what? I probably deserve this. I think he knows he deserved it. I think that was that. He did something terrible and he died. He died in shame in a house surrounded by news reporters.
Fair. When Sandusky was convicted, right, he's serving his 30 to 60 years in prison for molesting 10 children. And
that's bigger horse shit is that I go, listen, we all know that he'll die before any of that sentence. Because the man was, what, 60-something when he went in there?
Yeah.
He's not lasting.
For all intents and purposes, a life.
But that being said, can we call it a life sentence? Something like that. You molest 10 children. I need you to have the label on you. Life sentence. You don't get to come out.
Listen, I understand that. Okay. And this is, though, these charges that he was convicted on only date back to 1994. That's a full 2 decades.
Well, isn't there statute of limitations?
Seems like a very it's a very frustrating thing, especially when you get into the issues with the church and such about statute of limitations. But, I mean, we know this because of the prosecution in this insurance lawsuit. And then you're saying now that here's what was told to NBC.
But my question to you, getting back to what we were saying, though, is why for all of this that's gone on now, though, why does the coaching staff and the players and why does the current regime need to suffer for these terrible actions of people
why does Penn State football need to exist? Is there a reason that
because there's 50 kids who decided to commit their lives to that school because a coach sold them on a program that they believed in.
Okay, then what do you do now?
What have those kids done to suffer for?
It's not about that. It's about
the students of Baylor.
I'm focusing on, first of all, there's a whole lot of universities that don't need to be accredited in this world, okay? I wish a motherfucker could just decredit, unaccredit, decertify, demagnetize your education credentials.
Boy, that was some Al Sharpton shit right there.
I feel like it's more Jesse Jackson, Rebel Coalition. A little bit of both. Probably a little bit of both. A trip.
You just want to take the.
First of all,
burn it to the ground, Tutson. Is that what it is?
I'm perfectly okay with that moniker. perfectly okay. Print that on T-shirts. If I had a staff, like, let me come into the office with that. Listen, let me just read to you what sources told NBC. A former Penn State assistant witnessed a Sandusky incident in the late 70s, while three other coaches witnessed incidents in the 1990s. You won't believe what I just saw, one of those three coaches blurted out after bursting into a room filled with Penn State football staff, according to sources who spoke to a person who was in that room. A lawyer for one of the three 90s coaches denied his client had seen anything, a second coach declined to comment, a third could not be reached, and the name of the fourth was not disclosed to NBC News. You telling me, some of the alleged dates date ranges match up with incidents publicized in 2011, 2012.
Are any of those dudes with Penn State
anymore? We don't know, man. We don't know. They might be.
They're not.
They're not talking to nobody on the roster. Nobody didn't learn from them.
They turned that whole thing over.
I want that whole coaching tree burned down like the Tree of Souls in Avatar.
But
like,
if they did that, if they get rid of everyone, is that good enough for them to keep their accreditation for you?
I'll let the board decide.
Oh, you lying motherfucker. No,
look. I
picture you as the dude from Showtime at the Apollo just waiting to tap dance on and hook their accreditation drag it off stage.
I wish you could just send the Sandman out there to take away your motherfucking accreditation. I wish you just fish hook your motherfucking accreditation off the wall. I wish. That's the dream. I wish I could pay a whole team of motherfuckers to just go out there. A whole team of sad men and sad women. Just de-accredit you. I don't know what the proper term is. Decertify.
What would Ole Miss get the siren?
Wait, what? Oh, for the money? Ole Miss would have got, they wouldn't have survived the 60s under my regime.
The first time that plantation owner walked out on the field.
First time James Meredith showed up, they would have been like, uh-oh, take your old Colonel Sanders loving ass somewhere else.
I get your anger at Penn State. I do. I get it. They're all gone. They're all gone. I don't believe in making these kids suffer for the shitty things that dudes.
Here's my other question to you. Would you attend Penn State University as all of this comes out about its culture? Would you sign up for the current regime then? Still. Knowing that there was a culture of coaches.
Would I personally, as a student athlete, choose to go there? Fuck no. That's my choice.
You ain't shit.
That's my choice.
And it's my choice to decertify you. You don't have to
I wouldn't have gone there before any of this stuff came out. Like, that's...
Oh, that's not what the question is.
I mean, that's a rough question. Because I'm going, I never thought Penn State was much of a football school. I never did. They were just that school with that really old coach who's been there forever.
Who sold his soul to the devil.
Who took his soul back the second he lost his job, by the way.
I feel like the devil was just like, watching his clock being like, that Joe Paterno deal is going to roll up any minute now. Like, the moment that contract expired, he was there in Joe's bedroom like, hey, bruh, you know what it is.
That 50-year contract has come up.
Hey, listen, yish, wow, I actually feel bad about doing this. I'm me. I should have never done this deal.
You think the devil had second?
Absolutely feel like if the devil was reading his Hail Times newspaper and saw the details of Joe Paterno, he'd be like, damn,
I got hosed in this deal.
Hey. Martha, pull the Joe Paterno papers. Let's review who was the lead on that, because this is fucked up, man.
We gave him 50 years?
I don't care if you derail a fucking train, but this is terrible. This is awful. I don't care if they can't solve sickle cell, but this is miserable.
Oh, God.
I can't be reading this shit.
So moving on, the next story, we're not getting any warmer. A man who was supposed to be a top 5 talent in the draft.
Yep.
Has a picture of him smoking a gas mask bong.
Laramie Tunstall.
And just now, Miami's come up because they picked him up at 13.
Ravens scratched him. I mean, this is now. Here's this.
My Jets apparently tried to trade with the Giants to grab him.
The Ravens would have taken him at 6 in theory. The story is that Laramie Tunsil's Twitter account, I mean, we're talking, minutes before the draft started?
Yeah.
You're talking within, like, five.
This shit dropped at, like, Roger Goodell was getting actively booed for walking on stage when this tweet dropped.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, and it came, obviously.
Which I saw your tweet, Teddy, about just how much you enjoy.
I'll tell you right now, as an aside, yes, the tweet he's referencing, I will never get tired. I promise y'all right now, to the day I die, I'll never get tired of watching people boo the fuck out of Roger Goodell. Never. Never, ever. Never, ever. I will always.
Has there ever been a commissioner that got cheered at the, like, Tagliabue got booed as well.
Yeah, but the passion wasn't there, though. You know when you watch somebody boo someone and you like, God damn, y'all hate this. Like, y'all hate this dude. And that's like, they booing for everybody. You know
it's,
what
the,
I mean?
It's the
like,
difference.
Booing for, I want to tell them, like, hey, young bloods, you booing for all the people that never got to boo.
I feel like I don't know if any of our listeners will even get this reference at all, but it's the difference between, like, if you ever watch WWE and they boo a dude who's supposed to be a bad guy because they know they're supposed to be, but then there are those dudes like John Cena and Roman Reigns who are supposed to be good guys, but people are just sick and tired
just
of the goody two shoes, so they boo them. With this
visceral,
this visceral, like, boo, go away, like, just this hatred.
Like, if it wasn't for the fact that he was in a super controlled environment and all those people could be assassinated by his goon squad in about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
That man would be fucking hightailing it like your boy Donald Trump did when he fucking found that construction overpass to bail out. Motherfuckers start protesting. He's like, let's find a construction hide and get the fuck out of here, cross the wall. That's terrifying. It's terrifying. Yeah, but when you're Roger Goodell and you have the draft and stuff, you can bring it on. Keep booing me. Keep booing me. Let those motherfuckers show up in the loading dock. Boo.
Boo.
Get me out of here. I don't pay you not to drive.
But that being said, so as the clock is, like, as I here's the even weirder thing, the fact that a team that traded up to number one took as long into the clock as they did to submit their pick. But I feel like Los Angeles Rams were on the clock when this tweet dropped.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's so bizarre. The picture of him, he's, you know, sort of a, I guess it's a selfie, basically. It looks like he's just sitting around chilling on his computer taking some video. He's got a gas mask bong, which is not a rare thing to see these days.
Yeah, it's certainly not a college kid.
Yeah, you're not really.
There is not. I feel like if we broke down the door, did your frat have a gas mask bong?
Oh, well, I actually lived in a time before that was available.
What?
As an old man. But I do believe that if that had existed when I was in college, absolutely we would have had them.
The first three apartments.
Without a doubt.
The first three apartments that I lived in, I got a gas mask bong as a housewarming present all three times.
Well, we obviously moved in different circles at that time. I'm going to have to holler at some of my friends, and that's why they didn't step their life up.
I mean, it's such an inexpensive, lavish-looking gift because really they only cost like 25, 30 bucks.
Yeah. And so the story was that he was hacked. And obviously, anytime anyone with any level of fame says that their Twitter or social media account was hacked,
You don't believe them at all.
But in this case,
you seem pretty sure you know who the culprit is.
Well, we know because his stepfather had filed suit against him the day before for defamation and assault. We also know that he and his stepfather had gotten into that fight a few weeks ago or something like that, and, you know, there was charges pressed or whatever. There were, and not to mention the fact that his, you know, wife and Laramie's mother was there at the draft with her son and not with her thieving ass.
Oh.
Stepfather.
Ooh.
You out here trying to defraud people, son. So,
I mean, it's, boy, that, hey.
But you're looking at, I mean, right? I think.
Okay. All right. To the point.
But someone was also shopping that video around for weeks.
To the point that you were making.
It didn't just randomly show up, right? They were shopping it around.
When D'Angelo Russell said a few months ago that video being posted of Nick Young talking about cheating on Iggy Azalea, when D'Angelo's like, I got hacked.
Yep.
Did you believe him?
Well, I don't think he said he got hacked. Remember, he said I don't know, and we said you were fucking around with some girl and you left your shit unlocked and you fell asleep and she found it and she got paid. Probably. That was the theory that we put together. So he didn't want to be like, yeah, I was.
But didn't get paid, just posted it on social media. No one got paid.
You don't know if she conned somebody. She could have grifted somebody. She could have.
How?
I don't know, man.
There's no money to be made once it's public fucking record.
You don't know how to grift.
I'm not buying that,
no,
though.
I do think that it was someone who was just like, who just didn't care. Just saw it and was like, someone who lives for the drama, bro. There's plenty of messy people like that. You know that.
So you think this dude's dad like had his Twitter password?
All of the evidence is there, man. All of the, you've got the legal stuff with his stepfather, the lawsuits, they had the actual confrontations or whatever, the fact that he's not there, the draft, the fact that Laramie's there with his mother, and the suspicious timing, right? And then, remember, so on his Instagram, the chat conversation pops up with the coaches from Ole Miss about needing money for rent and his utilities. That's just who.
Yeah,
that's not, he is free falling in the NFL draft, right? That's how much money he lost.
Real time.
Real time. This man.
Well, under the new stipulations, it's not like he would have been making ridiculous
right.
money.
$3.5 million is probably how much he fell from. So
6 years ago, yeah. This cost him probably 8 digits.
And if he can identify the hacker, and the hacker has some money, he could recoup that. So probably not, since it's his broke ass stepdad trying to grift on him. So
oof.
Tough.
Well, here's my big question, though, is would you have passed on him in the draft because of this?
No.
He had no problems outside of this altercation with the stepdad and then this video and the subsequent comments, which were all, by the way, post-grad. Like, well, he was a student, model student so far as I could tell. Yeah. Never heard any stories about problems.
Well, I mean, I think if you're doing your research, right, let's say you've got, and then you're talking about someone who's considered one of the best, if not the best offensive lineman in the draft.
Yeah.
So you're going to do your research. I recently had the distinct privilege of watching the motion picture Draft Day. Have you ever seen Draft Day?
Yeah, I watched it.
What do you think?
I thought it was a fun movie to watch.
It was fun if you, boy, I don't want to say anything for anybody who hasn't seen that movie.
No, fuck it. If you haven't seen it by now, fucking fuck you. Spoiler alerts everywhere.
It is not favorable to NFL GMs in terms of like. There's no way you're getting the picks back, son.
Yeah, you're not getting those picks back.
The foundation of the movie is garbage.
Yeah.
So,
you
but it's fun.
Those picks back.
It's very fun other than that. If you like gave a fuck about football and like no wonder it didn't like do great cuz you would be like you would walk out in 10 minutes. If you were a coach or any other professionally employed person through the sport of football, you couldn't watch that movie. The point is though, I would do my diligence. Due diligence.
Yeah, but here's the other thing, though. Well,
I would know that.
Well, I agree with. Well, I agree with you on that. I also go, dude. I thought when I saw that movie, I went, dude, no one's giving up 3 first-round picks.
Nobody.
But
nobody.
Then I saw what fucking Los Angeles Rams did this year, and I went, I guess teams do.
Kevin Costner once again ahead of his time. Waterworld draft fucking
dances visionary. With wolves.
Visionary.
The postman is gonna happen.
Yeah, it's. I mean, so his stepdad filed a lawsuit, saying that he had defamed his character, and that.
The stepdad said he defamed his character?
A lawsuit filed like the day before the draft.
I don't even know who this dude is. How could he defame his character?
He was being sued by his stepfather days before the draft. He said that Tunsil attacked him last June and that Tunsil defamed his character. He alleged that these two things were, quote, an intentional infliction of emotional distress.
You're not allowed. Okay, here's a new rule I'm proposing for the United States. You're not allowed to sue for defamation of character if I don't know who the fuck you are.
Listen to this.
And you're not allowed to have the thing that identifies you. Like, I have to
tell
know,
me again, he's not the hacker.
I have to know your name. Like, I can't be like, oh, you know, Tunzel's stepdad. Like, no. I have to know who the fuck you are in order to have a defamation of character suit.
Listen to these lawsuit. Listen to what he's trying to get from this. This is what he's seeking. So Miller claims that the fight was a result of him trying to warn Tunzel against having contact with agents. Mighty convenient storyline. His new lawsuit seeks compensatory damages and punitive damages, attorney fees, pre- and post-judgment interest, and all costs associated with the suit because of, quote, past, present, and future bodily injury, pain and suffering, severe emotional distress, medical costs, damage to reputation, and or other types of damages that he has incurred and will likely continue to incur.
How much you want to bet this motherfucker like was a pretty like halfway decent high school football player?
Yeah.
And then tore his shit up in college. Didn't even get drafted. I mean, fucking probably washed out, dropped out, and now he's taking it out on this kid who actually is going to be a top. Like, how much do you want to bet if we look back in this dude's life, that's probably the story that we're going to find?
I absolutely believe that.
What kind of sad shoulda, coulda, woulda, never was dude is this guy?
Here's why I say, like, I don't have a lot of sympathy. I mean, like, I don't want to say, okay, I'm going to say it. I don't have a lot of sympathy for this man, son. The Deadspin account of him trying to, or whoever this person is, allegedly him, selling the video.
That is
weeks before.
That is the most smothered in sarcasm, allegedly, I think I've ever heard in my life. Allegedly.
How dare you? How dare you? Deadspin gets a email, saying 40-second video of projected top 5 pick in the 2016 NFL draft, smoking drugs, crack or weed, from gas mask, looking to sell.
By the way, no one's smoking crack out of a gas mask bong.
Do you know how insane your life is if you smoke a crack out of a gas mask bong? Like, you're not anywhere near reality
anymore. And by the way, it's very easy. Like, that's where the defamation and where you know this is someone who's personally trying to rip him down, because you could have just posted, like, here's him very obviously smoking marijuana.
Well,
that is the honest truth of it, and that is bad enough. But you know this was something personal when this dude's like, maybe crack? No, obviously not crack. I'm not saying I know how crack is smoked, but that's not the...
But I know how it's not smoked.
I know, like, you don't load it in a bowl. You have to put it in a bulb so that it can roast. Like, we've all seen fucking...
We've all watched HBO America Undercover.
We've all watched HBO. We've all seen Breaking Bad. We know how fucking rocks are smoked, okay? We all know.
I saw New Jack City.
Yeah, it's no. this is well documented. Boys in the Hood fucking did a very good job, you know, letting us know.
So the other, my other favorite part about this entire saga is that as Deadspin recounts this entire episode, the email, the name of the person sending the email, even though it's a throwaway account, is Laramie Tunzel. Somehow this person didn't even bother. They thought that this dude would be shopping a video of himself.
Yeah,
with the email. Deadspin responds, is this Laramie Tunzel? The emailer promptly replied, yes. What top 5 pick in the NFL is selling a video of themselves possibly smoking crack? What? Are you kidding me? That's an inside job, man. The call is coming from inside the house.
I mean, oof. But that being said, so back to my question. Would you, if you're the GM of Baltimore, you pass hold it?
Well, if I'm the GM of Baltimore, I could not draft him probably even if I wanted to, just considering my team's recent reputation. Yeah, you have to put, they are coming from that place of high character people, super high character, so on and so forth. I feel like Baltimore particularly is just a weird situation. But if I am any other, I mean, I would have taken him. I would not have hesitated. If I was sitting there just like the Dolphins and I desperately needed an elite offensive
lineman. Well, they're the ones who wound up finally taking him.
That's what I'm
saying. But
if I'm sitting there and if I'm the Dolphins and I'd be like,
is he really going to fall to us at 13?
There's no way he's going to fall to us at 13. Somebody's got to take him before us. Somebody's got to take him before. I mean, I would have the name written on the card ready to go the moment I was on the clock if I was the Dolphin in that case.
Let's go through the teams that passed on him. So the Baltimore Ravens, we obviously know, you said your reason. The San Francisco 49ers, they went defensive end, but certainly a team that...
They could certainly use that. And I get, I mean, they've lost a lot of defensive talent.
The Tennessee Titans, a team that did go with an offensive line pick, went with Jack Conklin.
I would have taken him if I was Tennessee. I would have absolutely taken him if I'm Tennessee. Absolutely.
Chicago Bears at 9 went outside linebacker.
Chicago needs defense. I mean,
Giants went corner. Tampa went right after them, corner again.
If I was the Jets, I would have tried to trade up to get him.
They did try to trade up. They tried to trade up with the Giants.
What they offered? Did they offer enough? They didn't offer enough.
Probably the pick that wound up being Christian Hackenberg. Ugh,
tough.
That would be my guess.
Tough break.
Yeah, really. I mean, I don't want to.
We're talking about Cold World.
I mean, listen.
I had to do it, Riffopolis.
As a Jets fan, I don't want to, you know, talk about, like, I don't want to get trudged up just in my team because I know we're not really contenders, so there's no point in really talking about us. But, no, we would be a team. I mean, it is at least worth noting. We were a team that could have greatly benefited from him.
Especially I'm wondering, with the Prickishaw going.
I'm wondering what we offered. That's a whole other story of we could talk about of why they walked up to him and said, hey, would you mind taking a small pay cut so that we could have some cap room to play with? And he's like, yeah, sure. You can have my entire contract. I'll retire. That was his retort to, would you mind taking a couple $1 million pay cut? Yeah, I'll take all of it pay cut. How about I'm just not playing anymore?
Deuces.
You have Giants, Buccaneers both go corner. New Orleans Saints go defensive tackle. Talk about another team that probably could have used an offensive lineman. They just got Mack in the center. They're really trying to build that offensive line to keep Breeze healthy. They could have definitely used.
Yep. Again. And I think, I mean.
And then the Dolphins pick him up. The Dolphins, who, by the way, just keep on working to protect
Ryan Tannehill. The franchise.
Will not.
You don't believe in Tannehill?
I haven't.
Guess who's training him? Your boy Peyton Manning now. He's taking him under his wing.
Ryan Tannehill.
You don't believe?
I didn't believe in him when he was the quarterback at Texas A&M. And they remember when they lost those three games that they were up by 35 or 28 or more at halftime and they lost them? I went, oh, this quarterback ain't never going to be shit. And people go, that's on defense. And I go, no. In the second half, the defense needed to stop him, but he also needed to possess the ball and put up a couple points, even if it's just a field goal. He puts up 4 field goals in the second half, or 2 field goals and a touchdown, or a field goal and a touchdown. You win the game.
Yep. Well, that said, I think
I don't believe in Ryan Tannehill.
Peyton Manning believes in Ryan Tannehill.
And that's
good enough for me to join you.
Peyton Manning is wrong about shit all the time.
I absolutely believe that. You named several teams there that could have taken it.
Yeah.
And now my question is, are you scared off because of the weed? Or are you scared off because of the seemingly sordid family disputes and legal situations surrounding him? If it's the weed, which I feel like a lot of people were talking about in the coverage, especially on the ESPN, your fan base is watching the draft high as fuck.
Yeah.
They don't care.
They don't.
So it's just very – it's, again, you got this disconnect between the suits, the executives, and
– I was mid-bong rip when I saw that picture come up on my screen.
I was wishing I could get high when I saw that. I was like, damn, that looks cool as fuck.
Yeah.
How come I ain't got no friends with him?
I might have one laying around somewhere. I might have to find
anybody
one.
Anybody got real friends? That is, but I mean, I think it's weird to see the amount of teams that wig the fuck out over passing on a top 5 talent because he got high with a gas mask ball.
Do you think the pass was on the weed, or was it because of the family?
I think it's got to be more about the weed. I think it's got to be more about the weed. Like, the fact that that video was released in the fashion that it was like, look at this guy smoking these drugs and this gas mask. He's dangerous.
You don't want this guy in your.
And who cares?
In a day where people are petitioning for Gordon to get back on the field because they're going, the only reason this dude can't get back on the field is because he smokes weed. Is that really going to be the only reason we hold this dude out of football for the most productive years of his life is because he can't stop smoking weed?
Which, in his case, is that is he on that pain management kick, or is it just? I feel like in his case, I mean, how many NFL players are there who smoke for pain management?
I got to imagine more than a few.
You got to imagine it's a solid amount.
It has to be.
Now, whether, you know, you can talk about how that affects their reaction time, whatever, but also, I mean, if you are at that elite level of athleticism.
Well, I've had this conversation on the other podcast I do, Cantalinguist, quite a few times about whether marijuana is a performance-enhancing drug. And people have talked about, you know, bronchodilator, it gives you some more endurance. But, you know, the reaction time, it isn't that. I'll attest for the fact that I feel like smoking weed while you're got adrenaline pumping is quite the opposite effect. I actually always felt like I had an extra step when I was when I smoked weed and played rugby. Oh, fucking A. I felt like I was a monster out there. I felt like I knew what everyone was doing before they did it because I felt like I had that extra time to react.
Can't have these performance-enhancing drugs in the game. Get that shit out of here.
But hey, listen, we have to realize that the term performance-enhancing drug is real.
It's a loaded term.
It's a loaded term, but also we used to have an idea, a picture. I know this is going to get a little off topic, but I feel like it's at least worth talking about a little bit. We're having a change, especially with baseball, with having D. Gordon, last year's baseball, the hitting champ, get an 80-game suspension for performance-enhancing drugs. And you look at him, dude's a stick figure.
Yeah.
We always used to think if they look like Barry Bonds in the late years, juicing. Mm-hmm. And now
– the big head.
The big head, the barrel chest. But now this whole idea – performance-enhancing is so many different things, depending on what you're enhancing. And now with all these other things – and I'm really starting to get to – I don't even know how to feel about this shit anymore because if it
– Well, I think you
because now we're banning things that are legal for people to take over the counter.
Yeah. Well, I think when you say performance enhancing, I think a big shift for a lot of people would have been the Lance Armstrong doping scandal.
Yeah.
Because – it was so advanced. It was so
scientific.
So scientific, so intricate, and so long running. And yet, you look at Lance Armstrong, you're like, oh, that's just a healthy athlete. You know, you wouldn't look at him and have that cartoonish example of the Mark McGuire and the steroids and the needles.
Except to people,
the pro wrestler.
When you and I watched the documentary about Lance Armstrong, though, we even had that. There was that part that you and I both freaked out at when it was some guy watching his second Tour de France victory, and it was a dude who was an insider, a guy in the know, who's sitting in the car watching
him. Yeah,
and he just looked. He's like, oh, he's on the juice.
Oh yeah, he's talking about how he's with one of the locals.
Yeah,
he's like, yeah, he's on the juice.
He's on the juice.
Like, how can you tell? And he's like, he's not breathing.
He's not suffering.
He's not suffering.
He's
going through the mountain.
He's climbing a mountain at ridiculous speeds, and it doesn't even look like it hurts him. He's on the juice.
Yeah. And that shit blew my mind. Where is someone which is, oh yeah, he's clearly like, I climb the mountain recreationally, fam, for bread. You know how much I love that bread? I'm trying to get up there.
But all of that, getting it back to the whole thing.
Why do you think the Ravens passed on him at six? You're Baltimore.
I don't know.
Why do you think they need to protect
Joe Flacco or Ryan Mallett?
So what do you think it is? Do you think it's the weed, or do you think it's the overall fucking, you know, we just don't want to deal with someone who's got this crazy ass situation with his stepdad and these fights and suing this and, you know, the whole agent thing and the money.
For the talent that he could be and what you need, I'd have taken him as Baltimore. I'd have jumped right on him.
So you say they passed because of
I'd
what,
have t- though? I'd have taken him at Baltimore. I'd have taken him again.
Yes.
I'd have taken him again at the Giants, and I'd taken him again at Tampa Bay, honestly.
So then, again, I ask you, if you're the Baltimore Ravens, are you passing because of the drugs or the family shit, the personal shit?
What causes you to take him off your draft board as it was
probably
reported?
The family shit.
Really? How actually, is it a surprise to you, though, if you've done – and that's what I'm saying. How has any of this caused you to – like the shockwaves that went through the draft, how is any of this, which is reported in fucking newspapers – it clearly Deadspin has been on the receiving end of this tape being shopped around. You got to talk to people. You got to have some sort of fucking conversation about this. How does any of this come to a surprise of a competent NFL operation? And are the Miami Dolphins more competent than everybody else?
I think yes here. In most cases, no. I mean, they're a really dumb, stupid
organization.
But
right now, they came up.
Well, much like the Jets draft pick last year in the first round, it's one of those things where at a certain point, you look at a dude's talent and go, I don't care what we need. If this guy's down here, we're taking him.
Right.
With the sixth pick last year, we took arguably the best player in the draft because no one needed a defensive lineman. And we didn't really need one, but we went, fuck,
he's arguably
the best player in the draft. He's there. We need great players. Every team needs great players. And that's the fact. So, no, even though I could understand and see – not understand. Even though I could see why they passed on him and probably speculate as to why, I don't agree with it. Yeah. I'd have taken him in three or four spots.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very bizarre situation, but
– the Giants could use some protection for Eli. Tampa Bay just went all in on a young quarterback last year. They could use some protection around him.
I don't get it. If you're passing because of the family stuff, there are a lot more fucked up, dysfunctional situations in the NFL, I think, than what we see here.
Tons more.
Obviously not as much because none of them have led to a stepfather or, you know, parent sabotaging someone actively before the biggest day of their life. But yet, nonetheless, we've seen some very, very toxic situations that haven't prevented people from being taken. And if it's the weed...
Who was the receiver for the Detroit Lions whose life just fell apart 2 years ago?
Oh, yes. I can't remember his name, though. But I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, got arrested twice in 24 hours.
Yeah.
One's trying to break into a police impound lot. Yeah. I mean, dudes' lives will fall apart, but... that's not what I'm seeing here. I'm not seeing this dude's life falling apart.
Yep.
I see a picture of him smoking weed probably from when he's a freshman.
Yeah, we have no idea what the time frame of that is. And I mean, if the worst thing you've done in your life is smoke weed out of a gas mask.
If we kick down the door of every frat house in America right now, I think we would find at least 85% of them are going to have gas mask bombs in them.
There are quite a few middle managers in the corporate ranks who would be fired. If we went rifling through their videos, because we would see some gas mask bongs, okay?
Yeah.
All right. So moving on now, we will turn our attention to the phenomena known as Conor McGregor and the fight that more than likely
it's not going to happen. He's not going to fight Floyd. He's not fighting Floyd Mayweather. I wish it would, but it's not going to happen. It's not happening. Deal with it. It's not happening.
Couldn't even let me get the sentence out.
Floyd Mayweather. Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather is never going to happen. I wish it would because Conor's actually fast enough to maybe put a couple licks on Floyd, but Floyd's not going to fight.
What kind of fight would it be in the first place? Is it a UFC match?
Well, that was the whole argument, was that it would be a UFC fight, which Floyd's never going to do. He's not going to get in the cage, allow for kicks and stuff like that. Allow for the ground game. That's not who he is.
Never.
And if it was a boxing match, Conor's not going to win.
No.
He's just not. There's too much space to move around in.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Maybe Conor might beat him on points, but it won't even be a fun fight to watch if he does.
I mean, that would be what? I think the thing is for Floyd, why would you take...
You'll have more fun watching the video of when Conor McGregor fought Hotshot Jorgensen, the Mountain from Game of Thrones. Just go watch that video. It's It's kind of fun to watch just because you don't realize until you turn it on that Bjorgensen is 2.5 Conor McGregor's. He's 415 pounds, something like that. Conor's 155. He's two. He's almost three. He's almost three Conor McGregor's.
Bless his heart, though. Bless his heart. Yeah, I mean, there's no probable way. Here's the other thing. I think there's no way Floyd Mayweather comes out of retirement for a match that would, for all intents and purposes, be his 50th fight. And yeah, he can't actually say 50-0. I beat Rocky Marciano.
Yeah, and he's also, by the way, he's not going to fight someone who could beat him, which is what Conor kind of is.
Yeah.
He's not going to fight someone.
I think
he might fight Manny again, but probably only because he's 100% sure he'd probably beat him.
And here's the other thing, I think. I don't know if Floyd would necessarily want to deal with the back and forth media blitz with McGregor. It's all fun and games to just tease it now and, you know, keep your name in the papers and stuff. But if McGregor was actually letting loose, you would probably see something along the lines of...
I don't agree with you. Floyd has had the worst things in the world said about him.
Who has talked that shit to Floyd on the level that Conor McGregor
has? And he blinks and throws money on them stripper style. Like, I don't buy that. We're talking about...
What is... Okay, here is... What about...
Before you ask that question, I need you to acknowledge, tell me Floyd Mayweather isn't the dude who keeps an empty patch of dirt in his backyard that's empty, void of anything, and he puts a sign in the middle of it that said Floyd Mayweather's fuck farm, and he lets it lay bare at all times. Acknowledge that that's probably true. That's probably in Floyd Mayweather's house somewhere. Some empty patch of dirt that says, this is my fuck farm. Yeah, nothing's grown here ever.
I mean, I don't know if he has.
No, go ahead. Answer the question.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't know if it's a farm. It might be more of a vineyard. But the point is, who would you say is the opponent that talked the most shit to Floyd Mayweather in the way Conor McGregor does, which is completely denigrating?
Oh, no one in that way.
Now,
De La Hoya talked mad shit, though.
But not in the way that McGregor did. Now, you remember when 50 Cent came after Mayweather, making fun of him for being illiterate?
Yeah,
You remember when he leaked them fucking recordings of him trying to record those radio promos?
Oh, my God.
Like, well, I may be illiterate, but you got to read these checks or whatever. Do you understand what McGregor would do to Mayweather?
You remember when Floyd Mayweather showed that check on the air to the ESPN announcer?
Yeah.
Do you think Floyd could read it? Do you think he needed...
Are you writing copy for Conor McGregor right now?
Do you think
now?
That he needed... Do you think that he was just like, could you tell me how much is on here? Because I don't fucking know.
Are you auditioning for a role in Conor McGregor's posse?
You're damn right I am. You're damn right. I'm a big Conor McGregor fan.
Yeah, now let's transition away into this actual McGregor discussion, because I think it's really interesting because he had the
faux retirement?
The faux retirement there, and over about not wanting to do promotional shit. Right? Basically, that seemed to be a lot of it, was not wanting to do...
Well, let's actually talk about that quickly first, because I'm curious. Like, you're not a huge UFC fan.
No,
but you know enough about Conor McGregor and the shit he talks. Like, if you hear that he's in a fight, do you... Like, that's a fight that you want... They talk about this promo schedule, but I go, sometimes it does get to a point where a dude doesn't need to do the same promo schedule that he was doing, because his name being on the fight means that people assume the shit talk. I mean, Muhammad Ali reached a point in his career where he didn't need the rhymes anymore. People assumed he made them.
Yeah, but it was also a very different media environment back then, though.
Yes, I mean, very, very different.
You needed some level of promotion.
Conor could tweet once a day. And that would probably be enough.
Well, I mean, he tweeted that picture of him and Mayweather in the standoff or whatever, and that's it now. He has become a transcendent personality in the sport. Probably
from the moment that he grabbed another dude's belt at a press conference and raised it over his own head.
In his home. What is it, in his home?
In his country. In Ireland.
I think, you know, has there been a transcendent UFC MMA star on Conor McGregor's level? I feel like the closest maybe to what McGregor did, and I don't even think it's really that close, but it's very different also, would have been Ken Shamrock in the early days of UFC when he transitioned and
world was dangerous man. A little bit, yeah, kind
of. In terms of being during that Attitude Era and being this huge crossover star, and some other dudes tried to cross over as well into wrestling and did not fare as well as Ken Shamrock, and even then, you know, he had his issues. But
I'm waiting to watch CM Punk get his face broken open. I can't wait for that.
I don't know if any other athlete has been on the MMA side, even their greatest champions. I don't know if they've been as transcendent a cultural figure as McGregor has come, where just the invocation of his name is guaranteed to produce, you know, X results.
Not in the MMA world yet, I think, have we had a name that was this big of a... 'Cause here's the thing.
Would you have said Anderson Silva's on this level?
Some people could argue maybe Anderson Silva, Ronda Rousey, and here's my combat to that.
I feel like
that.
Rousey is, yeah.
My combat to that is I go, they might have the same pay-per-view numbers. Maybe. Maybe. And I don't even think they do. But where he kills them is the social media relevance. You know, Ronda Rousey, Anderson Silva, John Jones, Daniel Cormier, they might make you relevant for one Saturday every 4 months.
Yeah.
But Conor McGregor makes you relevant three times a week sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, the guy's on a totally different level from everybody else, just in terms of the fact that he could retire, not retire, and it kind of got
pushed
off. And by
the way, big hats off, I think, to I want to take a big hats off to Nate Diaz for saying, I want to fight Conor. I'm not going to take another fight. I owe this guy another fight. Even acknowledging kind of, he's like, listen, I fought this dude at a weight that he didn't even make it up to. He was prepared to fight. Because everyone goes, oh, well, he still weighed 165. Conor McGregor found out about the reschedule of the fight. He was prepared to cut water weight down to 155. That was where he was prepared to fight at. People go, well, he weighed 165. He just didn't do a cut. That's it. He just didn't sweat for two straight days, which is what all these fighters do. They prepare themselves to about 10 pounds over their desired weight. And then when they get ready for the weigh-in, they sit in a sweat box with a sweatsuit on until they've dropped the water weight down to where they want to be. And then as soon as that weigh-in's done, they chug water and usually gain 3-4 pounds back. So
yep.
Conor was fighting someone who was 15 pounds above what he was ready to fight at. And I think Nate knows that and knows that the fair thing is to fight Conor again. So big hats off to Nate for making that a public statement.
Yeah. I agree. I think it's interesting, the people who have come out against McGregor and saying that you've got Diaz saying that. You've got other people saying that he's ducking them, that McGregor's ducking them. I think Aldo said that, right?
Yeah, but Aldo's – I mean – McGregor ain't ducking him. I think McGregor...
Frankie Edgar has
McGregor said that. McGregor really felt slighted about the fact that he lost. He's one of those dudes who really believes that he should win every time he steps in there. And I think that... I kind of... like. Here's the thing. Say what you want to about Conor McGregor, whether you like him, whether you don't, whether you think he's pompous, an asshole, full of himself, cocky. Has he ever lied?
I don't know if it's the lying.
Has he ever been full of shit?
Yeah, I mean, not that I can instantly recall, but I mean, I don't know if that's ever been an issue that he's a liar or that he's full of shit, right? I don't think that's the problem.
No. So, I get everything about. I just let the man fuck. I think he should have been on the 200 card. I get Dana White. Dana White is the most painfully – it sucks to say he's the most painfully consistent commissioner we have in any sports league.
Yeah. Well,
he really does make everyone do the same work, even if they're not on the same field.
Well, apparently, according to ESPN, you're talking about a $45 million boost to UFC 200.
Yeah, that was the number that I heard.
That's the Darren Ravel number that that was out there. So last thoughts on McGregor, or are you ready for the next?
He'll fight Diaz soon. I think it'll be a good fight. And if they're fighting at 155, I think McGregor will win.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's where you go?
That's where I stand.
All right. Moving on to the topic that I know you have been looking for.
Oh, man. Dwayne Wade taking some shots during O Canada and blaming it on the clock. Like he can't hear the fucking anthem playing in the stadium.
Set the full story here for
Drake lost his mind. How dare you? That's my country's anthem.
Dwayne Wade was called out by the Canadians, I should say, in general. From Drake to Steve Nash.
Drake speaks for Canada.
To the cousins Jim Carrey forgot.
Until I meet a Canadian who denies that Drake speaks for them, I'm just going to say Drake speaks for Canada.
So Drake, excuse me, Drake. Dwayne Wade, you dirty son of a bitch. Dwayne Wade was in trouble for basically taking extra warm-up shots at the beginning of them singing the national anthem, O Canada. He basically shot for about an extra 20 to 30 seconds until he trotted over in the line. And this is what he said. No disrespect at all for me. I apologize for Canada thinking I would disrespect them as a country, which, first of all, just an amazing thing to have to say. just what a place in your life that you've reached where you're apologizing to entire countries. Oh, I can only imagine. So Wade doesn't, for ESPN, Wade often doesn't line up for the pregame anthem until he makes a certain shot. Though during most games in Miami, the playing of the Star Spangled Banner is usually preceded by a brief ceremony honoring Mary Pochinelle, which buys him a few more seconds to line up before the anthem begins. So the only Canadian team in the NBA has their anthem played, and your man just keeps shooting till he makes it.
Because he got to make that shot.
Got to make that shot. Although, interesting note, the next game, he was the first person in line when they said, "Oh, Canada, because I don't want to disrespect you." As a nation.
The disrespect already occurred, Dwayne.
I mean, you can't take that back lining up early.
Everybody knows that you was taking that jump shot last game.
Come on, man. No one cares. We're really going to be mad about that, yo.
You know what?
Would you be mad if you were Canadian?
Here's the thing. What's amazing is it just says so much about Canada because Canadians have so – as soon as he said that, they were like, oh, well, okay, yeah, I guess that was – seems pretty. He lined up early next time, so I guess he's pretty sorry, eh?
Like, is that all it takes?
They're so fucking – they're the most polite people in the world. And I'm not saying that just because it's terrible. I spent a summer up there working. They really are the nicest fucking – like, nice to a fault. Like, so nice that even a decent human being thinks you're so nice I could take advantage of you. But I forgot what I was saying. Dwayne, I'm more upset about the fact that he didn't just say – oh, man, I needed to make this shot of this. Like, the fact that he went for this bullshit, like, the clock was, like, I'm checking the clock, and it said there was still time left, so that's why I was shooting. And I'm going, yo, dude, you
say fuck Canada, man. Fuck, hey, and fuck Foodie Flakes while I'm at it. Fuck them. Like, fuck them trash-ass flakes, man. Just go ahead, burn.
And fuck poutine.
Yeah, right.
Fuck poutine.
Fuck. What's that breakfast spot that they have up there?
Jimmy John?
Yeah. Fuck
Jimmy John.
I'm thinking of fuck Jimmy John. Fuck loonies and toonies.
Oh no! Is it? Oh no! Wait! I know the one you're thinking. Yeah, I can't think of it. The donut like, spot.
Yeah, the donut spot. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know exactly. It's like what
some
you're
weird. It's like Ben Horton's or something.
Yeah, Ben Horton. Yeah.
Fuck you, Ben Horton. Fuck you. If that is your real name.
But no, like that's what upsets me about it, is that he blamed it on the clock. It's like, dude, just say you didn't give a fuck about O Canada.
Yeah, you can't say that, man.
You hear it playing in the stadium. There's no way you don't know. Well, somebody came on the court to sing it, I'm assuming.
I feel like less of the fact that, like, even that, you got that, you've got the fact that your teammates aren't shooting the basketball anymore because they're in line. You're like, oh, damn, I ain't getting no distractions right now. That's because everybody's in a fucking straight line over here showing respect to all the provinces.
Well, I mean, you know, do we really have to respect Saskatchewan as well? I mean, it's
what you sound like, Dwayne Wade's public.
It ain't no British Columbia, that's for sure.
It's your Nova Scotia.
I mean, it ain't no Newfoundland. I mean, here's the thing. I am in kind of like, if Dwayne Wade had just said, fuck French Canada, I'd have been in his corner completely.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck French Canada.
Fuck them. Fuck them.
Fuck them to hell. Yeah. But I mean, I'm going to fuck them till they're dead. I'll go Mr. Garrison on that one.
I mean, national anthems are, you know, it's a sensitive subject, bro, but you can't be, again, I feel like the rule of thumb is, let's say you were balling against some Canadian hoopers, right? And they were like, yo, we just want to play our national anthem before the game starts.
While they were
playing the national anthem, right? You just shooting.
I'm just gonna.
Would you fight you got to your car? Would you be able to get to your car without fighting?
I am that dude that, like, when I go to Dodger games and I'm there for the national anthem and everyone stands for the national anthem. When there's that dude in my section who's got his hat still on, I'm that dude who's like, your fucking hat, dude. Like, I'm that asshole who's like. Like, I'm looking around my section like, let a motherfucker leave his hat on in section 214. You are going to take – we are going to be a capless fucking section. Do you understand? Like, so – but that – if I was a professional athlete, I'm sorry. If the game hasn't started yet, if, like, I know we're under 10 minutes of game time and I hear organ music starting, I'm the fuck running to a line and taking whatever headgear I have off of me. Like, cause I don't like, I always want I feel like the last image any athlete ever wants painted of them is disrespectful.
Yeah. Nobody wants that.
Nobody's ever wanted that moniker.
Yeah. No, no,
maybe during the game, but not, as a person,
ambassador of the sport.
Yeah,
that's where
I go. This is just such a lack of, like, dude, do you not like that? What's just decent and right, and like just what you're supposed to do. If you're in a stadium as a professional athlete, and you hear and someone's hitting that B-52 rolling organ, and you hear that shit tuning up. Tell me you aren't the player who's immediately like, where's everyone lining up?
Yeah,
you're sprinting to line.
Yeah, you can't shoot through the national anthem. That's just not there.
You take your hat off during the national anthem at a baseball game, Teddy? What?
I don't wear hats.
Oh, you lying son of a bitch. Everyone wears a hat to a ball game.
I don't wear hats. No, I would take my hat off, I guess. I'd take my hat off during the national anthem. I'm not trying to be an asshole.
I mean, that's just, I felt like
only because motherfuckers like you be looking at me if I
I do. I shoot people the evilest fucking eye. I'll clear throats. I'll fucking say something to them. I'm the most pushy. Like,
yeah, that's what I'm like.
I didn't realize it until we were talking about this. I'm like, I am that asshole who's just like, hey, you want to take your fucking hat off, dude? Your people die for your country. You know, you got people in Afghanistan, Iraq, and Revolutionary War and Civil War and World War I, World War II, War of 1812,
guy, huh?
French Indian War. Like, I go all the way back to the French Indian War. I start reminding people of that shit. Yeah. Fuck yeah. You're damn right. Show some respect. It's your country.
Wow.
It's shit like this that has Donald Trump as the front runner.
Oh, my goodness.
Shit like this.
Oh.
Shit like this. And people doing this Bernie or bust fucking shit. I'm just like, get the fuck over yourself.
That's fine.
Y'all need to get the fuck over yourself. y'all need to respect your fucking country. Y'all, well, both of you. Both of you have no respect for your country.
Speaking of respect.
To complete the reverse pyramid, we bring it home now with the story of the longest of long shots. Leicester City. Is it Leicester City?
Leicester City. Leicester, I'm going to go with Leicester City.
I've pronounced it so many different ways over the last
few weeks. Well, we talked about this in our thorough-ass pre-production meeting. I went Tottenham, or as they call it, Tottenham, which is not how it's spelled at all.
No, not at all.
So you never know how any of this shit actually is really supposed to be said, because they say it not the way it's supposed to be said.
Not even close. But they... complete underdog to win the Premier League.
No, don't say complete underdog. Give the number.
Astronomically,
5,000 to 1.
And somehow,
those are I mean, that's not a made up number. Those are
actual odds that they were given.
Actual odds that betting gambling establishments were like, sure, if you want to pay money to bet on them to win it all, what, $5,000 if you give me a dollar.
Here are just a few things that have odds that will never happen. Just to put it in context for you. The Philadelphia 76ers, one of the worst professional basketball teams we have seen in ages, had 200 to 1 odds to win the NBA title this season after a 18-64 season.
Yeah.
200 to 1 odds. Going back to the year Cam Newton won the BCS championship at Auburn, 1,000 to 1 odds.
Yeah, that was a long shot, but still.
Yeah. You've got the 2008 Tampa Bay Rays, who won the World Series, 300 to 1. St. Louis Rams with Kurt Warner, you know, when they started off with Trent Green, 300 to 1. Okay. Now, 2004 Red Sox. When they trailed 3-0, 120 to 1. Now let's just go over some things that have 5,000 to 1 odds by the same sports book. In case you want to be frivolous with your money, you can go holler at William Hill.
And by the way, my favorite story,
English bookmaker.
My favorite story of a guy who won money off of this was still the drunken man who said, he went, well, I put a pound on them to win it all. And then the night before the season started, I was drunk and I deleted my 1 pound bet and I replaced it with a 5 pound bet.
Brilliant.
Because I went, yeah, what the fuck? And he won 25,000 pounds. That's about mid to high $40,000 range.
Yeah. Here are some other bets by the same English bookmaker, William Hill, that have 5,000 to 1 odds. Elvis is found alive.
Are you shitting me? No fucking way. That's actually on their site. Mm-hmm. Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Are you serious?
Yeti or Loch Ness Monster is proven to exist.
Oh, no. Are these all going to be
Kim Kardashian becomes the U.S. president in 2020.
Oh, no.
Barack Obama plays cricket for England after he leaves the Oval Office. All 5,000 to 1 odds. And yet, this team able to triumph.
Are
in
you
one of the
serious?
Most, and it's amazing as a fucking, because it's a season. It's a whole season. It's not just a game.
It's not just a
series.
It's
not a hot
season.
Streak. It's a full.
They played a
calendar season, and Elvis is still dead.
And Barack Obama still has not picked up a cricket bat.
He picked it up for nothing.
And even though Kanye's hinting at it, Kim still thoroughly out of the race.
I don't know about the Loch Ness Monster. But I do know that Leicester City, 5,000 to 1. First of all, you should have never. How drunk was the dude who made 5,000 to 1 odds there? That man should not have a job right now.
Well, they even admitted, they went, you know, the whole 5,000 to 1 thing, that was a number that they've used before, because they always say that's their ridiculous number that they – when they go – there's no chance of them winning. There's no chance of anyone betting on them to win. So if we give it ridiculous odds, maybe we can get a couple bucks in those wild bets of people going, oh, maybe the shot in the – but that's the whole thing is going – you. They even admitted, they went, we only do that for someone that we're sure is not going to win.
Y'all sure Elvis dead too, huh? Because I feel like you better be fucking hitting the bushes right now. And you don't want no 87-year-old Elvis to turn up from the Bahamas.
Somebody from that bookie organization is camped outside of Graceland right now with a sniper rifle.
Yeah.
Just in case someone pokes their head out who looks a little suspicious.
Drove down to Brazil just to start shooting everybody who looks like a 78-year-old Elvis. Just a whole trail of bodies left there. So pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. I think like it would be like wow, I'm trying to think. Like what's an equivalent even? I feel like it would be the Cleveland it would be the Cleveland Browns ripping off three undefeated seasons in a row and winning the Super Bowl every single
year. I will tell you exactly the equivalent, but it's not even because it was one of the ones you talked when the Florida Marlins won the World Series against the Yankees. Mm. I had a buddy who had put $100 on them preseason to win the World Series. Now, here's the fucked up part of that story. After game five, when they went down 3-1, because remember they went down 3-1 in that series, he threw away the ticket.
Oh, no.
We dug through his dumpster to find the ticket. We did find the ticket, which he cashed in.
Good for him.
But even that was I think it was a 300 like something
yeah,
like
even
that.
Even then, you're not looking at anywhere near these odds. I mean, it's incredible. That's what I'm saying. Like, what is it? Would be like the Philadelphia 76ers winning the next four NBA championships.
Now, here's my question, because this was something that popped up when I was researching this story myself. Apparently, these English betting sites, these British betting sites, they give you a chance to settle your bet before the outcome.
Yeah, they were like, hey, can
you? They're like, hey, can we buy you out of this? And obviously, they were offering humongous amounts of money. And this was there, if you're the dude and you get to the 2/3 mark of the season and you see they're in the first place and there's a good chance they could win it, would you have settled?
No, I didn't come this far to settle. I didn't get drunk and put this money down to let it go away now.
You would ride it all the way to the end?
Hell yeah. I ain't never getting this chance again. Never. I'm getting this money.
Even if it's 80% of the value you could win? Because that's what the 2 days before, they were offering him £20,000. When they could have lost the last two games and not won the championship.
You got to have faith in the product, B. I did not bet this money to come to the very end only to settle for 80%.
But you really only bet the money because of the ridiculous odds.
And no, if
you
bet have the that money because I was drunk. That's why I bet the money. The odds just happened to be there. The drunk.
Well, no, he said that he'd made the bet before when he wasn't drunk. He made the £1 bet. The drunkenness was the thing that made him quintuple the bet.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant. By the way, according to ABC News, it's pronounced Leicester.
Leicester.
Leicester
City. I was right. Leicester.
Leicester City. By the way, also, the U.S. men's hockey team in the 1980 Winter Olympics, Miracle on Ice, I suppose.
Yeah.
1,000-1 odds.
That's
1,000-1.
5,000-1.
Incredible. Just incredible.
It's possibly the most, and it sucks because here in America we just don't care about football, but soccer. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. But we don't care about soccer. This really might go down as one of the most remarkable individual seasons that one team has ever had.
Yeah, I can't think of anything.
Especially in a stacked-ass Premier League, as good as it is right now, with United, City, Liverpool, Chelsea, Tottenham. These are all really, really, really fucking talented teams.
Yeah, and I mean, it's such a small, scrappy team. If you're a sports fan of any kind, you will forever be able to point to this team and their run and say, yeah, why not? Why Not Us certainly has a much different ring to it now.
Yeah,
and you have Leicester City on the books.
It's here's the other thing. Question then: let's say you're a fan of Leicester, like, because Leicester City isn't all of a sudden the richest fucking city in England.
Yeah, no, y'all still broke.
So that means there's a lot of dudes out there who do, like, how do you feel if you've been a fan of this team for 30 years and you didn't bet on them this year?
Terrible. Like, you didn't get drunk enough.
I'm worried about what the suicide rate is going to be in Leicester for the next, like, few months of dudes who are just like, I could have changed my life.
Yeah, I'm trying to clean up on the 400-1 odds next season because they ain't doing nothing. I'm trying to get paid and suckering everybody who thinks they can come in for them bets. It's gonna be tough though. If you were a diehard fan and you didn't bet. And that you were like,
obviously most of the fans didn't.
Well, you can't blame them.
Most of the fans.
You're talking to a man from a city that voted 100% in that poll whether or not Houston had a chance against Golden State. 100%. 100% of the city that voted said, y'all gonna lose. Okay, so I bet motherfuckers didn't bet, all right? I absolutely believe it. I know it.
You had to make it a little cold in the end, bringing up the fact that you're...
That's it.
I still remember when you found out that Golden State was going to be playing Houston in the first round, and I asked you if you thought you'd win a game. You got angry.
Yeah, I told you, I don't like people playing on my phone. That's what I said, and I stand by it.
Oh, man. Well, this is a lovely little podcast.
Yeah, it's been a great, great run. And that's going to do it for us here on this edition of the Cold World of Sports.
Thank you, Rifopoulos Studios.
Thank you, as always, Rifopoulos, for joining us and listening. Alex Mandelberg, Teddy Tutson here saying, don't disrespect the national anthem.
Never.
Don't be petty. Good night, bitches.